Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Lee Hardman, currency analyst at MUFG. It's Friday, 10th June 2022, and joining Lee to pose some questions on the financial market themes for the week ahead is Simon Mays, Director of MUFG's Global Customer Marketing Group for EMEA in London. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only.
Good afternoon, Lee. Thanks for taking the time. Good to have you with us. And it's nice to head into the weekend with a bit of sunshine here in London, I have to say. So moving first to look at dollar-yen, it's continued to march higher this week again. Now it looks to be consolidating over 130 over the past week or so. So what do you think has been the main driver of that this week?
Well, Simon, yeah, no, good to speak to you again. And in terms of dollar-yen, I think it's a kind of familiar story that we've been used to for most of this year, whereby we're seeing market participants continuing to kind of price in expectations for widening policy divergence between the BOJ and other major G10 central banks. The BOJ still looks very much like it's going to kind of lag well behind other major central banks in terms of tightening policy. Whereas if we look at other major central banks outside of Japan, certainly over the last couple of weeks, we have seen more hawkish policy surprises. We had the Bank of Canada and the Reserve Bank of Australia both delivering 50 basis point rate hikes over the last couple of weeks, with the Bank of Canada also stressing that they could be prepared to do even bigger hikes if necessary. And then obviously yesterday as well, we had another hawkish policy surprise from the ECB, where they kind of laid out their plans to start reversing the emergency policy measures that have been in place now for a number of years. So we now know that QE is going to end at the start of next month, and that they'll then follow that up very quickly by raising rates by 25 basis points in July. And then I think on the more hawkish side of things, they also went further and started to kind of prepare the ground for a potential 50 basis point hike in September if the inflation outlook doesn't improve by that point. So we're taking that as the kind of base case scenario at this point. And then when we look beyond September, I think the ECB even went further and said that they are expecting a sustained period of gradual hikes beyond that point. So this is clearly the ECB moving towards a kind of cycle of rate hikes to lift the policy rate back to kind of more neutral territory, which is seen somewhere between kind of 1% and 2%. So to us, that's again something which kind of differentiates the ECB from the BOJ. And then obviously on top of that as well, next week, we also have the Fed. We're expecting them to deliver another hawkish policy update. That looks even more likely now after we've just heard the news today that inflation surprised again to the upside quite significantly in May. To us, that strengthens the case for the Fed to deliver another 50 basis point rate hike next week. And then we're expecting another 50 basis point hike in July, and then it's looking even more likely that we could see another 50 basis point hike in September. So that series of larger rate hikes from the Fed is putting upward pressure on short-term yields again in the US, where we've seen them kind of rise to fresh highs this week, and all of that certainly feeding into to upward pressure on dollar yen right now.
Okay, yeah. So given what you've said then, but also, you know, taking into account, you know, the forward-looking sort of hawkish bias from the Fed, and as you said, the inflation data today, do you expect the dollar yen to continue then on its path higher from here?
Well, certainly that kind of fundamental story is certainly very strongly in favour of further upside for dollar yen in the short term. But obviously the one thing that we do have to take into consideration as well is also some developments today in terms of the policy response from Japan. We've certainly heard more concern voiced from Japanese policymakers over the scale of yen weakness. And obviously the risk is if dollar yen was to break above the highs from back in 2002, just over the 135 level, there is a clear risk that yen weakness could accelerate further in the short term. So this could be certainly prompting the authorities over in Japan to push back more strongly against the possibility of further yen weakness right now. We did hear from the MOF, BOJ, and FSA over in Japan, and they issued a joint statement saying that the yen's decline recently has been rapid and that it's starting to kind of diverge from fundamentals. So to us, that's certainly suggesting a higher risk that Japan policymakers could move to intervene unilaterally to support the yen if we were to see the yen continue to weaken as rapidly as we have done recently. So I think that kind of risk of intervention, that certainly should help to, I suppose, dampen the pace of yen weakness in the week ahead. Like even if they did intervene, we don't think that would be enough to turn around this yen weakening trend on its own on a sustainable basis. For that to happen, you'd really need to see a shift in BOJ policy. And on that side of things, our economists over in Tokyo, they're not expecting the BOJ next week to significantly alter their monetary policy stance. So that should still leave the door open for further yen weakness. But having said that, though, the risk is that if the BOJ does make any tweaks to their current yield curve control policy, that's obviously one potential hawkish surprise, which could lead to a bigger than expected rebound for the yen, given that we have seen such a heavy sell-off for the yen over the past couple of months.
Understood. Thank you. Just changing focus a little bit to the UK then. And as you mentioned earlier, we had the ECB's hawkish message this week. So following that, do you expect the Bank of England to follow suit, and deliver a more hawkish policy update next week?
Well, I think that's definitely the risk going into the Bank of England meeting next week. Like I say, we've had a number of hawkish policy surprises from other major central banks. And I think there is certainly a potential there that the Bank of England could deliver a larger than expected rate hike next week. It's not our base case scenario. Like we kind of still agree with kind of consensus that it's more likely that the Bank of England will hike by 25 basis points again next week. But even if they don't do a 50 basis point hike, they could send a signal that they are more seriously considering the possibility of doing a 50 basis point hike at the August MPC meeting. So this is the kind of, I think, potential hawkish risk for next week. And I think we only just have to look back at the voting pattern from the last meeting back in May. And on that occasion, we already had three MPC members who dissented and voted in favour of a 50 basis point hike. So you only need two more MPC members to come on board with a view for a 50 basis point hike. And then we could have the potential for a surprise 50 basis point hike next week. So it wouldn't necessarily take a big shift in terms of the view on the Bank of England to deliver that hawkish surprise. And from a kind of fundamental point of view as well, we would also argue that the case is sort of strengthening for the Bank of England to deliver more tightening right now. On the one hand, we've had further evidence of tightening labour market conditions in the UK, which will make MPC members certainly more sensitive over the risk of further stronger wage growth here in the UK, which would certainly add to those inflation risks. And then on top of that as well, obviously recently we had the government announcing measures to help households to pay for higher energy bills this year. So that additional fiscal support, that's obviously going to help to reduce the risk of a kind of deeper slowdown in growth later this year. And will make the Bank of England on balance, I think, certainly a little bit more concerned over the kind of inflationary risks from that fiscal stimulus. So in response, the Bank of England or MPC members may feel that they may need to do more in terms of tightening monetary policy to kind of compensate for that inflation risk. So yeah, certainly from a fundamental point of view as well, we'd certainly argue there's certainly a bigger risk now that the Bank of England may feel they need to do more, not just in the short term, but further out to try and get inflation under control. So that's the risk. And obviously how that plays into the performance of the pound is also going to be important. On that side of things, if we were to see a bigger than expected Bank of England hike or clear kind of hawkish guidance that they are kind of seriously considering that for the August meeting, that could be something which helps the pound to bounce back next week. But we would still kind of emphasize that even if we were to see a rebound for the pound on the back of a hawkish update next week from the Bank of England, we don't think that will be sufficient to kind of trigger a more sustainable strengthening of the pound. We'd still think that if you look at the kind of bigger picture macro backdrop for the UK economy, we're still talking about an economy which has a very weak growth outlook and also a very elevated inflation profile as well. So I think that kind of combination is very negative for currency performance. So it's going to be very difficult really at this point for the pound to stage a kind of sustainable rebound from here.
Thanks very much, Lisa. Plenty to focus on next week.
Thanks, Simon.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.